This morning we're going to start a four-week look at the book of Ruth. Ruth is one of those books in the Bible that you can actually sit down and read in one sitting, and a book that is a beautiful story that we're going to unpack over the next few weeks. And so today we begin with chapter 1 from the book of Ruth. We're going to be in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, for the next 6 weeks. We don't spend a lot of time, enough time, here, and so it's good to hear this story that forms our faith. I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 1 to 22. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and had given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, even if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dealt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, God, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that it would surround and fill this place, that it would open our ears, that it would open our hearts, that it would open our minds, that we may hear and understand your word for us today. We pray that it would shape us and form us, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is a story from the Hebrew Bible, from the Old Testament, and in the Hebrew Bible, particularly, Yahweh is frequently an active and central character. Yahweh is a protagonist often, speaking. God speaks, God intervenes, God acts directly with the people. God is depicted as the actor who breaks the laws of nature. God intervenes to part seas. God intervenes to bring water from a rock. Staffs laid on the ground turn into snakes and back again. There are bushes that burn but aren't burned up. Ordinary human beings like Moses hear God's voice. They get to see glimpses of God's glory and live to tell the story. God is present and active and speaking and is one of the main characters. But here in Ruth, God is absent. All of chapter 1 goes by and there is only passing mention of God. And this is Naomi's problem, really, isn't it? That God has abandoned her. It's important for us to connect with Naomi's emotions, to connect with her story. She and Elimelech started out in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread, but there's no bread left in Bethlehem. There's nothing there for them to eat. There's a famine in the land. And so it was severe enough that they picked up and they left their home. They left everything they'd ever known to try and find food. So imagine hunting through your pantry, and there's all that stuff in there that's been in there for years that you just don't ever throw away, and you finally get around to eating that even. And you've cleaned out the freezer. You've eaten all the stuff that's in the freezer, and you're going from grocery store to grocery store to grocery store, and the shelves are empty. And Naomi has two small children at home, and her children are asking her, when and where will we eat again? Begging for food when they don't have any to give them. So your only hope is to leave everything that you've ever known behind. It's to pick up and leave the place and the people from which you have derived your identity that has shaped and formed you. You have to pick up and leave for hope of a better life somewhere else. They were refugees. Naomi and Elimelech and their two boys. And their situation was so desperate that they pick up and they moved to Moab. For members of the house of Israel, Moab was a place to avoid. Moabites were people to avoid. The law in Deuteronomy is specific and clear about this. And so they're so desperate that they go to a place and live among people that they have been taught their whole life to stay away from. And when they get there, Elimelech dies. And she's without her husband. And her two boys, they marry Moabite women. And so Naomi is slowly losing her identity. She's slowly not becoming Naomi anymore. Her family is assimilating. She's lost her husband. Her family is assimilating into a place and into a people that she's learned are her enemy. I want you to think about your family history that's important to you, the heritage that's important to you, the traditions and the customs that you inherited from people who were important to you, who formed you and shaped you. Think about the places that have been near and dear to you your whole life, the places that you go when you want to feel at home or where you want to see something familiar, and then imagine all of those things slowly becoming a memory. And you being increasingly sure that they're going to stay a memory, that you're never going to see them or feel those things again. That's a high price to pay for bread. And so for 10 years, Naomi lives into this reality, and then she loses her children, both of her sons. She's now buried both her husband and her children. And everything that she left Judah to try and save, everything that she came to Moab for to preserve, is now gone. So you can begin to understand where Naomi's question, where is God in this story? Where's the God who speaks to people out loud and in big voice? Where's the God who burns bushes? Where's the God who parts seas? Where's the God whose glory is revealed, who makes a way out of no way? Where is the Yahweh who said, I will be their God and they will be my people? Where's that God in this story? And if you've allowed yourself to travel emotionally with Naomi, or even if you've begun to connect Naomi's journey with some of the things that you've endured in your own life, you can understand why she might be wondering where God is. The name Naomi in Hebrew means pleasantness. And in the final verses of this chapter, she's heading back to Judah, and she gets back to Bethlehem, and the women start to say, "Is that Naomi?" And she said, "You can't call me that anymore. There's no more pleasantness in my life. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. I don't have anything left. Why call me this? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune on me." Enough has finally happened in her life to convince her that God has abandoned her to this pain and suffering. And this pain and suffering, this grief that she feels, it changes her very identity. It changes the way she sees herself and the way she presents herself to other people. I'm not the same person anymore. And the only hint that we have that this might not be, we're just in chapter 1 of 4, the only hint that we have that this might not be the whole story is Ruth and Orpah. And these three remarkable women that are on this journey together, they both share so deeply in one another's grief and pain. Twice the scripture tells us that they wept out loud with one another. They shared this deep connection and this deep love between them, and they shared this deep grief between them. These three widows who are struggling to find their way forward in a life that is unstable in a paternalistic culture where your identity is bound up in your relationship to a man. This is why she tells them, go and find security. Go find a husband. We can be together all we want, but that's not going to give any of us what we're looking for. Go have your chance at happiness and stability. And in the end, Orpah follows Naomi's directions. She goes back to her people, back to her identity, back to her own religion. But Ruth refuses to go. And if you know a line from Ruth, it's likely that line, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." In other words, I'm with you. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Even unto death, even after we have both parted from this world, I will be with you, buried together. So it's beautiful in this moving pledge of love and fidelity from Ruth, who is of no blood relation to Naomi. And still, there's no word from God in all of this. There's no angels, there's no shining light, they're heading back to Judah, there's no whispers in a dream telling Naomi everything's going to be all right. There's no promises, there's no instructions given to them about what they're going to do. All they do when they go back to Judah, Naomi goes, she has her broken heart and she has Ruth. That's all she carries with her. Now Ruth's name means companion or friend. Naomi has Ruth, who gives up her blood family, she gives up the religion of her people, she gives up the people and the places that are familiar to her. She willingly lets go of the identity that has been hers in order to commit herself to Naomi and to Yahweh. It's interesting. We haven't heard Yahweh show up at all in this story. Ruth hasn't had any burning bush experience or conversion moment. How does she even know who Yahweh is to pledge herself to that God? She doesn't know. All she knows is Naomi. And she loved Naomi enough to know that she would love Naomi's God too. So at the same time that Naomi is sure that God has abandoned her, Naomi is sure that God has left her alone, Naomi is sure that God has only given her bitterness, here beside her is Ruth. Here beside her is Ruth, who embodies love and devotion that is deep and unfailing and apparently unlimited. So I'll give you a spoiler about the next few chapters. You still have to come next 3 weeks, but I'll give you a spoiler. There's no explicit mention of God acting in any particular way at any point in this 4 chapters of this book. God is not a main character. Not in any of the ways that you might be used to, not in any of the other ways that are there in the Hebrew Bible. God does not act in any of the ways that you might hope that God would act in your life, like when you're making a big decision and you're waiting on God to show up in a burning bush. There's none of that in Ruth. If you're waiting on God's voice to comfort you or tell you why something has happened, there's none of that in Ruth. So we're meant to understand in the book of Ruth that God is acting through the people in the story. In this moment, God is acting through Ruth. God is using Ruth to bring about Naomi's redemption and healing. As one writer says, we are to understand God's movement not by cause and effect, the way Naomi has it. God caused this, and this is the effect of bitterness in my life. We are meant to understand God's movement in the extra measure of relatedness that we seek. God's power and character in the midst of human suffering are experienced in that extra measure of relatedness. I think that's a beautiful way of putting it, an extra measure of relatedness. In other words, we all have one kind of relatedness. We're related to people by blood that we may or may not choose, right? But then we also are in search, all of us, of something extra, something bigger than that, a connection, a bond, the embrace of brothers and sisters beyond even our blood family, because we know that if they've taken us in, if they've seen the spark of God in us, it's because they chose it, not because they had to. We want to feel belonged and we want to feel loved, not as if it's some requirement by the choice of people who see God in us and pledge themselves to walk alongside us. I have 12 clergy brothers and sisters that I've known for the better part of 10 years, and we gather once a year, and we are in touch with each other all throughout the year. And now when I say brothers and sisters, I mean brothers and sisters. They are an extra measure of relatedness in my life. And as this story frames it, actually, they are God present to me. Who are those people for you? The great eye-opening truth of this story is that God is present to Naomi in the heart, in the presence, in the promises of a foreigner. A foreigner. It's a Moabite. From outside the boundaries that the Israelites have come to expect where God will act. Can you imagine that? God acting outside the rules? God acting outside of our expectations? God acting outside of our borders? Not only is God here, but God is acting in the least likely place, in a Moabite. And so in this way, Ruth becomes a frame for us to understand the ministry of Jesus. God acts in human form. God shows up in flesh and blood, bringing about the resurrection and restoration of Naomi's broken heart. And in the same way, Jesus comes in human form. And Jesus comes and he says, particularly to the brokenhearted, to the oppressed, to worn down, grief-stricken people, he says, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And if it kills you, it'll kill me." And so he becomes an extra measure of relatedness. When we call Jesus brother, when we call Jesus friend, when we call him advocate, he is an extra measure of relatedness for us. A person who claims us as family when he didn't have to. And so there's two things I want to leave you with. And the first is that the church, generally speaking, is meant to be an extra measure of relatedness. That's what we exist for. People say, "Why do I need to go to church? I can stay at home and I can believe and I can follow Jesus and I don't need to sit in a church." And that, you know, some of that's true, but an extra measure of relatedness you don't get on your couch. The church is called to become a walking, talking group called Ruth, friend, companion. And so when you come in through the walls of the church, you may never hear the thundering voice of God. I don't know if God will ever speak the way God spoke to Moses. I don't know if anything is going to burn and not be burned up. Pray to God not. But if we're doing the kind of work that God calls us to do, you can find an extra measure of relatedness, a spirit of love and fidelity among people that is both given and received. Because you see, sometimes you might be Ruth. And you might be able to give that gift to someone and say, "Where you go, I'll go." And sometimes you might be the recipient of it. You might be Naomi. and show up here with a broken heart and need somebody to come around you and say, where you go, I'll go. Sometimes that gift will come from within. Sometimes it might come from within the sort of the margins of what we call our community. And sometimes it might come from outside the margins of what we call our community. Sometimes somebody else will be Ruth to you, and sometimes you'll be called to be somebody else's Ruth. And what that means, when you are called into that moment, that means that you are God present to someone else. However it comes, do not mistake it, because that is how Scripture tells us God shows up. So the second thing I want to leave you with is this. It's the last line of our Scripture, and this will take us from part one to part two, bring us from this week to next week. The brokenhearted Naomi, the last few verses say that she goes carrying her grief toward Judah. But two things. She does not go alone. She has Ruth the Moabite. And two is the harvest is beginning. This one who has spent her whole life searching for fullness, searching for wholeness, searching to be fed. She heads back toward the house of bread, and the Scripture tells us that they're about to bring in the barley. Where God's people are, there is God. And where God is, there is always a coming harvest. Let us be signs and witnesses of it even now.